Everyone on the planet has something to say about God. But have we ever really talked about God's sense of humor? That's coming up next, right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Hi, and welcome to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. So glad you're here with me today. I hope you guys like my new theme music I got there. That's definitely thanks to Jackie Jolene. She is the one helping me to really update theme music for our network this year as we go into our seventh year of doing what we do here on PJC Media. And I'm glad that she's helping me. So I hope you guys like this. You did a really good job. You know, when I came up with this show, I didn't really understand how much we would actually need to talk about God's sense of humor, because he really does have one. And do you know how I know that he has a sense of humor? It's because we have a sense of humor. And we can laugh about things, and I'm sure God laughs about things too. We talk about his love first and foremost, and we talk about his power and his glory, his honor, justice, holiness, and many, many, many more things. But talking about God's sense of humor, I think that helps us recognize that in this multifaceted gem of our Lord's characteristics, that he can laugh. With me is worship leader and author David Waddell, who's going to help us unpack what it means to talk about God's sense of humor. You're also welcome to join in. All you have to do is call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5 again. So very glad you are here with me today. Like I said before the break, we are going to be talking about God's sense of humor. And I can see some people going, okay, why are we even going in this route? We are all stuck in a pandemic. We're all in a sea of turmoil, of doubt. We're stuck in a lot of different places. But it's good to know that we don't have to remain stuck. And I think laughter is often that element in our lives that allows us to break from the seriousness of things that are going on around us. I remember for myself, and if I can use this for myself, if I can use it, I hope I don't sound like a weirdo or anything, but I remember my twin sister when she was first diagnosed with cancer several years ago, and we were all devastated by the news. I mean, who wouldn't be? And then she made a joke, and in the midst of the turmoil and the doubts and all those things associated with finding out that your loved one has cancer, we laughed. And it was such a relief to laugh, to let go of some of the pressure and the tension that comes with laughter. And I think this is a gift of God that's often overlooked. the ability to laugh. Now, we're not talking about laughing at things that aren't funny. We're not talking about that. We're talking about having a moment of mirth, a moment of joy, because I think laughter helps us heal when bad things happen. That's just me anyway, but I'm looking forward to where David go with this. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring David on air. David, how are you doing today?
I am doing just fabulous, Parker. It's a joy to be with you again.
I'm so glad you took time to be with me too. I remember when I was looking to have you on board, I said, I haven't had David on the show, and I'm not going to let too much time pass so I don't have him on the show. So I'm so glad you were able to. And with everything going on, to have that sense of lightheartedness, I think we can have today on the show, but still have some depth to our conversation. It's talking about humor. And I'm thinking, who better than someone who can laugh at himself, who can laugh at, you know, at other people, hopefully not in a bad way. Sometimes we do, though. We know we've all done that, and can understand just what the gift of laughter is to us as people who need that break from turmoil. So thank you so much for being with us today, David.
Well, it's an honor to be here, and I do laugh at myself because I give myself so much material to laugh at.
Right. Like, I don't even have to work for it. You kind of think, like, I just do it automatically. It doesn't, you know, I don't have to have, like, jokes in the back, like, create a joke and I'll do it. No, I provide it for my own self, you know. So, yeah, this is great, Dave. This is great, you know. So the last time you were on the show, we talked about your book, Worship Wars. And you talked about worship and how we can be in unity together. And now you have an opportunity to tell us how we can be in unity again by discussing this, I think, overlooked attribute of God, which is his sense of humor. So before we get into that, between the last time you were with us on the show, how have you been handling things, particularly during this pandemic?
It's been a unique and goofy time. I saw a meme on a social media site that said, call your extroverted friends. They need help.
Yes, we do.
I'm a people person, and not being able to be out and about and in front of people has just tried to drive me crazy. But, you know, you find circles. We've had some Zoom calls with friends, and our classes at the university went completely online, and so we adapt and we adjust. And even in the midst of the turmoil, you find things to laugh at. My dog thinks I quit my job so I could spend more time with her.
Right.
You know, you find the laughter where you can, and you recognize. Even in the midst of all the hurt and pain that's going on, and no way in the world would I laugh at those kinds of things, but I think little bits of life give us humor. I wore a mask into the post office the other day, drove halfway home realizing the mask was still on. I'm in the car by myself. Who am I going to infect?
Right.
You know, but so you just find the little things that can be enjoyable and humorous, and I think God gives us those moments to help us get through these rough times. It's like your sister telling a joke in the midst of cancer. Laughter is a good medicine, it says in the Proverbs.
Yes. Yes, it is. And one thing about laughter, too, is that, like you said, it's really odd how it comes at you at the weirdest places, at the oddest places. Like you thought, like your dog is like, oh, this is for me, you know. Like, this is for me, thank you. I was looking forward to that. And it just comes out of everywhere. I know for some of us, especially during COVID, there were memes going about that I actually think helped. Like, I shared a meme also on my social media that says God must have been and tired of our fighting and hollering that he put us all to our room. He sent us all to our room, something like that. And you have all this happening. Yeah, I know, right? You have all this happening and you're able to laugh. Particularly, and I'm with you, David, I am an extroverted person. And I saw another meme, and I thank God in some sense, not all memes, obviously, but some memes, they really are funny. They show the introverts happily working, you know, writing with their headphones, and they show the extrovert clawing at the door, banging on it, like, help, get me out of here. And some of my introverted friends have become talkative to the extroverts because they know we need it, right, David?
Yes, I've had some. I have one friend in particular that called me up and he said, "Okay, just go." He was going to let me talk until I was finished. And so it's been a joy. And you know, the front door thing isn't all that funny because I'm going to have to repaint mine because the claw marks are getting deeper and deeper.
They're thinking, like, did you have someone locked in here? It's like, yes, me. I was locked in here. It's like you need a rubber room almost. Like, give me a rubber room.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Okay. It's okay.
Easier to bounce off the wall.
Right. But that's the thing. You know, we need God's sense of humor. Like I said, we need it, and God gives it to us. But let's talk a little bit about humor in that, you know, laughter often breaks up things. I mentioned that earlier when I was talking. And I remember I remember thinking about this, particularly like my twin sister. My twin sister always makes me laugh. And when she said this joke during this, you know, this turmoil that we found when she has a cancer, you have to remember everything silent, you know, like, you know, you can almost hear cicadas outside. That's how silent it went, you know. And then we just burst out laughing. And God understands the human heart. He truly understands the human heart that you need someone to make light of things because it can't always be this way, you know. And it's like when you watch, like, you ever watch like a movie that's really, really sad? There is no joy in this movie at all. You're like, this is a horrible movie. There's nothing to break it up. They call it art. I said, this is a sad movie. I don't want to watch this. But we always need the what? Comic relief. We always need that little hint of laughter. And that's why I think it's so overlooked, because we've come to expect it, that we don't quite understand the gift of laughter. So go ahead and expand on that, what the gift of laughter does for our lives.
Well, a couple of things. One is Proverbs 17:31 says, a cheerful heart is a good medicine. And studies have been done. The Patch Adams work has shown that laughter has a healing aspect to it. And there is a lightheartedness that sets off, I don't know all the biological terms, but endorphins apparently go crazy when you're laughing, and it goes through the body and provides healing. I think of Sarah when she found out at the age of 90 that she was going to have a baby and laughed. And she said, I laugh, and now the world will laugh with me. And so there's there's just a lot to it that happens to us where laughter occurs. I think most of it, when I think of God's sense of humor, I think often of how I parented my three sons or how my parents parented me and my two brothers, because the relationship we have with God is a lot like a parent and child relationship. And I remember numerous times when Dad would come in and wonder who had broken the sliding closet doors, and it was my brother and I, because we'd made this crazy baseball game where you threw a ball off the wall and we would back into the closet door somehow. And of course neither one of us knew how it was broken. And I think of Adam when God found him in the garden and said, did you eat of that tree? And he said, well, that woman you gave.
Right.
And so the childlikeness of humanity with a parent figure in God is just comical. And we all know there have been times, whether you're a parent or an uncle or an aunt, or you've worked with children, there are times you're trying to be serious because they've done something wrong and they say something that just, you have to turn, you have to walk out of the room to laugh because you can't let them see you enjoying it. And I think God has provided those moments for us. So when things get so serious, life builds in, because God put it there, a comic relief for us. And so it, story after story in the Bible, you can find the humor in it if you just look.
Particularly, I was thinking about finding the humor in narratives in the Bible. And the first one that comes to mind to me is the story of Joseph and his 12 brothers, and when they all reunited again. And Joseph, yes, he went through a lot of pain. He went through a lot of stuff. You know, he went through a lot. We all know that. And he's like, he's a Christ figure, if you will. But Joseph got his own back with his brothers, okay? And when I remember reading that when I was older, I was like, he's fooling around with his brothers because he tricked them several times, you know? And, yes. You know, he's all nice and good. But I said, this is the other side of Joseph we don't talk about. This is a prankster. Remember, his father's name is Jacob. Jacob means supplanter and trickster. And Joseph embodied some of that. And mind you, we're so used to seeing Joseph as this, oh, great Joseph, that we forgot he messed with his brothers. And he played a prank on them. Now, mind you, there are other things going on, too. You kind of don't mind Joseph doing that. But there is a sense of humor in that. And the fact that God allowed us to see this other side of Joseph. And laughter, in my opinion, and please, you know, correct me where I'm wrong, Dave. Laughter, in my opinion, breaks the ice between people. Sometimes you can meet someone, be very formal and hello, Mr. So-and-so, I'm Parker J, and this is David. Then you trip and fall and crack your head on the stair, and it just breaks, it just totally breaks everything up. So laughter also is like a bridge between us, where instead of the formality and the distance, all of a sudden we share in mirth. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I love that example, and the reason I love it is because I was a brother. I was the middle of three kids. And when I read the story of Joseph, some people read it and say the poor kid was abused by his brothers. I read the story and I think, yeah, he's lucky they didn't kill him.
Right.
You know, he's wearing a coat that his dad gave him. And in the verses in the scripture, you could just read it that Joseph found favor in Jacob. I know for a fact Jacob was wearing that coat around going, guess who dad loves most, you know, and he was needling his brothers. And I use this. This is the first story I use in the book Characters of the Bible, where I found similarities in my life with Bible characters, because I used to take candy that we would get at Christmas, or if mom brought candy home from the store, I'd eat part of it, wrap it up, and hide it. My brothers would eat their entire candy when they got it, and then months later, I would pull the candy out and eat it and tantalize them with it. You know, oh, this is so good. And it was a sense of delayed gratification in one sense, because the chocolate not only was good a month later or 2 months later, but I could also get at my brothers. And so I have a feeling if a caravan had gone through Kansas City or Springfield during my growing up years, my brothers would have sold me to Egypt as well. And, you know, just story after story you find in there. And, yeah, Joseph was an honorary brother. Think about it. When the brothers came back, he said, go get Benjamin. Bring Benjamin to me. Because he knew the other brothers would be in trouble if they asked Dad for his other son that Rachel gave him. And so he was needling them back. Joseph, yes, was a Christ figure. Joseph, yes, helped the nation of Israel survive the famine and became second in power in Egypt. But he was still just an honorary brother, you know. And so I think of stories like that where the humor comes in. Parker, I think of the times Jesus had to deal with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says he's got to go to Jerusalem and die, and Peter pulls him aside and says, hey, I wouldn't talk like that if I were you. And you have to know Jesus cracks a smile, before he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Because Peter was just so out there and goofy. Peter was the extrovert scratching at the door, by the way, during their pandemic.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just those kind of things. One of my favorite verses in the scripture is in Luke when they're at the Mount of Transfiguration. And it says, Peter, not knowing what to say, spoke. And that was the kind of guy Peter was. The words would come out and then he would think about it later. And so just humor is throughout the scriptures. And like I say, in that first book and even my second book, The Holiday Biblical Characters, I found correlation after correlation of my life with people in the Bible. And they're just funny. Some of them are funny. Some of them are sad. I had one person that reviewed the first book and said they laughed, they cried, and they were too embarrassed for me, the author, to keep reading. So.
Right. this is it. You know, it's funny that you said, like, Peter not knowing what to say spoke. And he was talking crazy when he saw it. I mean, I think we all were. Like, we're going to do this. We're going to build you a house. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. He's just kind of like, you know, calm down. And that's the thing. And that's why I'm saying that this laughter thing is very underrated, but it's such a necessary part of our life. And I think God's sense of humor gives that life-bringing joy to us. We're going to be talking more about it, David Waddell, as we go through and discuss God's sense of humor. You have more than an opportunity to call in and weigh in by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1. We'll be right back after these messages.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Losing sales due to incorrect algorithm influence categorization? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience who's eager to devour your Christian, faith-based books in a variety of subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Become a content contributor and receive early notification of when you can start uploading your content. Go to twotigersllc.com and sign up today. Readio, the app for great Christian books. Follow us on social media at twotigersllc.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We are talking about God's sense of humor, how God's sense of humor underlines everything in our life. We do understand that laughter turmoil, that it helps us dealing with sad times. And we sometimes underestimate just how important laughter is, and particularly the fact that God does have a sense of humor. And with me to talk about that is author and worship leader David Waddell, and he's just using some of the things that he's learned in his relationship with Christ, with his family, with himself, and he's able to laugh at himself as well as provide jokes for himself. And you kind of sit there like, okay, Dave, you know, it's one of those days, and you kind of wonder, okay, I don't know what's going on, but this is pretty funny. And I think when we have someone who can laugh at ourselves, which I think it's vital that we can laugh at ourselves, that we don't take ourselves too seriously. I think that helps us grow as a person. And another thing that you did too is let us know how we can find ourselves in these biblical characters and people that in some sense we've deified, if I can use that term, right, Dave? We kind of deify them, and we're forgetting that they were people just like us. And I think about the one famous picture, Albert Einstein. It's not the picture of him in front of a podium talking to a group of students. It's not the one of him where he's discovering his relativity equation. Or some fantastic new truth. It's when his tongue is stuck out in his mouth. Okay? He's sticking his tongue out his mouth. And for some reason, all that, that's what we remember. Some people don't even know who, they just know who Albert Einstein is just from that picture. And I think it's funny, actually, that here we have this, you know, smart man known for the sticking his tongue out in a photo in a rare moment, you know, because he obviously is quite serious, him and Tesla, they're quite serious. And that's the picture. I mean, you got to admit that's funny. You have to admit that, okay, this is the one that means it. Yeah, Scott's sense of humor underlines everything in our lives. Now, you did this and took in a book. I forgot to let our listeners know what the book is that you're referring to. Tell us about it.
The book is called Characters of the Bible, Finding My Stories in Their Stories. And what I did was I just, God revealed to me memories in my life and how they correlated with different stories in the Bible or different characters in the Bible. Unfortunately, Peter is one of my key go-to guys in personality and goofiness. But I found myself in those stories, both in Christmas and Easter and in different Bible characters. For an example, Peter went to Jesus and asked him, you know, how many times should we forgive a person? 7 times? And, of course, he was being liberal by saying 7, mm-hmm. and then Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. And I think about the time I was in high school, and I asked our youth pastor, how far can I go with a girl on a date before it becomes sin? And his reply was, since you've asked the question that way, you already know the answer, you just don't like it.
Right.
And we, you know, God gives us set boundaries what we can do, but we just like to push those things back. And just so like Peter, I asked my youth pastor, you know, is 7 times enough, you know, and so we get the answers. My particular favorite example, I spoke about Peter not knowing what to say, spoke. Parker, I did an interview for the ABC affiliate in Memphis 1 year while I was on staff at a church in the Memphis area. They wanted mm-hmm. an off-the-top-of-the-head interview. They didn't want anything planned response. And I felt pretty confident because I had speech and debate in high school. I knew I could do this. And so they got me all gussied up with makeup, lights go on, and the interviewer says, why is it that Christians seem to be the target of so many scam artists?
Mm-hmm.
And without even thinking, I said, well, 3 things. I didn't even have 1 at the point, but I said 3 things, so now I've got to come up with 3. So I said, first, Christians are very trusting. I said, a lot of them don't think anyone would be setting out to hurt them. And I said, secondly, some are quite naive. They really don't understand that the world would try to hurt them. And thirdly, I said, and some of them are just borderline stupid.
Right.
And the moment it came out, I knew I would pay for it. Interview ends. I said, can we do that again? I've got a better response. And the interviewer said, nope, I got just what I wanted. And I thought, yeah, my resignation.
Yeah.
So the next day, we have a staff meeting at church. It shows at 6 o'clock or at the 10 o'clock hour. And then the next morning on the morning news, they did a replay of it. So I go into the office for staff meeting. And they're all just saying, you know, nodding their head and saying, thanks for giving Christianity such a good foundation, Dave. You know, just, but I didn't know what to say, and I spoke. And so there, Peter and I end up just being like each other. But I think of a time in Jeremiah, he talks about the potter. My mom is a very gifted potter, and so one day I decided I wanted to learn how. So she gets the wheel going. The clay's going. To be a potter, you have to be able to use your hands and also adjust the speed of the wheel with your foot, which is known as multitasking. My mind is not made for multitasking, so I get the speed right, but as soon as I started concentrating on the clay, my foot would give up on the accelerator. Mom would say, give it a little bit more speed. Well, all I knew to do was push down, and then, of course, clay is flying everywhere. And in a perfect example, she took what was going to be a salad bowl and became a cereal bowl. And then when we discovered it had a quarter-sized hole in the bottom, it became a planter. She took the same clay and sat down and made a beautiful vase out of it. And so I thought about the verse in Jeremiah where God talks about the potter and the clay and how he takes the mistakes and forms them into something beautiful. And that's us. Parker, we're something beautiful because God took a mess and made us into something pretty. And so just story after story like that came into play. So I decided to put them into print, and it is the good, the bad, and the ugly of me. I mean, it's just it's the whole story, and but it's also humorous. It's funny, even though some of them are serious things. I mean, some of the things that I did caused the divorce, caused me to have to restore a relationship with my sons. None of that is pretty, but God has turned it into something beautiful in our lives. And so God, I think in a lot of ways, just says, watch me make this mess into something pretty. And listen, if that's not wonderful and humorous, I don't know what is.
That's the amazing thing, is the fact that he can do it. And I've said that before on the show, is that I think it's a miracle that God can take a mess and turn it into something beautiful. It's kind of like with this COVID thing. Like for me, one of the things I find attractive, just generally speaking, that I find attractive in people is people who can make me laugh. I love laughing, you know, and I like people who can make me laugh. And sometimes though, people say, well, you can't laugh at everything. I said, I'm not trying to laugh at everything. I know some things are no laughing matter, but ever so often you can just kind of grin and, you know, think about it. So we did get a comment.
Right.
We got a comment from Hillary. Hillary says, yes, sometimes I'll see or hear something that makes me laugh and say, I see what you did there, God, and I can feel him smiling back at me. Amazing to share those moments of joy with my Heavenly Father. And that's Hillary from Berkeley, California. Hillary, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. And then Sheila from Detroit says, like last week when it was really snowing, and that's here, I don't know if it was snowing where you guys were, but here in Michigan, you know, we have every season in a day. We can, you know, always, if you don't like the weather in Michigan, wait a minute, literally, just wait a minute, because it's bound to change. Everybody has plans to do something, but God laughed with the angels and said they have changed their plans. Sheila, thank you for joining in the conversation. You also can join in, just call in 646-668-8485 or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole. And I love the fact that people recognize that. I want to touch on Hillary's comment and get your thoughts about this. It amazes me that we have the creator of the universe, who has all of this power and can look down at us and we can share a moment of humor. And I think that's incredible. And that's the relationship that God wants with us, where we can look back at each other and grin, and we can look back and go, wow. And we do reverence him. Don't misunderstand me, you know. But at the same time that we can share a moment of joy, a moment of laughter, we really do understand, too, that God does have a sense of humor. Go ahead and expand on that for me, David.
Yeah, Hillary has made a beautiful point, and that is that our relationship with God is a best friend relationship. It's a father-child relationship, and when we experience those moments that are joyful like that, I think that's the right reaction to have, is that God is smiling with us. There have been times in worship that I've been trying to be so perfect that I know is God is smiling at me. When communion is passed, it's one of the most nervous times I have in worship, because I don't want to be the one that leaves the grape juice stain on the carpet.
Yes.
And I recognize in myself, I've missed the point of communion. It's not to avoid spilling grape juice. It's to celebrate the fact that Jesus shed his blood. But you know that God has to be watching me carefully handle that tray to the next person. You know, you can hear the glass clinking in the cup holder because of the nerves. And off we go. And so it's those moments like that. I think God grins with us, or he laughs out loud. Parker, when I was a freshman in college, I worked part-time as a youth minister in a church near Springfield, Missouri. And the pastor had done a baptism, and it was a beautiful experience because it was a young man in the community that they'd been praying for some time. Well, some people don't know it. When it was a Southern Baptist church, and when they do baptism, the pastor wears a set of chest waders like fishermen would wear, so that he can pop out of them and get back to the service quick. Everyone else has to just change clothes, et cetera, but he's out real quick. Well, he's wearing a light gray suit, and this is almost risque, so if your children are listening, you may want to cover their ears. But he comes out to welcome the guest, and he's got a little bit of a wet spot near the midsection of his pants. And he can't think of the word chest waiters, so he steps to the pulpit to welcome the guest, and he says, "You'll have to forget this little wet spot on my pants." He couldn't think of chest waiters, so he tells the church, "My thingy must have leaked."
Oh, my God.
That Southern Baptist church went nuts. I mean, and the moment he said it, he realized that he turns beet red, and he starts trying to explain, well, no, you know, and it's gone. We've lost it. I have no doubt that God laughed out loud at that moment. When I was in seminary, I was leading a prayer, and I often say people that aren't in pastoral positions don't get to speak much in church. So I was a recreation minister through my whole career, and so we didn't get that many opportunities. So we did what we could during our prayer time. So if we did the offertory prayer or the ending prayer, then, you know, we could get our sermon in. And so in the prayer, I started praying, "Lord, we're not doing what you want. We're just, we're not visiting people. We're not helping the sick. We're not feeding the hungry." And I said, "Help us right now. Get up off of our big fat." And I stopped Parker because the next word was not going to be a polite one in a prayer. And I'm sure it was only a few seconds, but mm-hmm. I couldn't think of an appropriate word for bottom, rump. None of those were coming to me. Backside. Mm-hmm. Nothing was happening. And so all I could remember was a nickname that we had for a girl in our high school youth group named Binky.
Oh, God.
And so I used the word Binky. The church goes nuts. You know, get us up off of our big fat Binkies. And it's those moments. Some people would look at that and say, "My gosh, you just made the worship service a sacrilege." My thinking is the humor helped us recognize humanity, which allowed us to worship a holy God even more. And so it's a part of it. And when you read in the Bible the things that took place, the things we tried to get away with, Ananias and Sapphira burying their part of the prophet, thinking that God couldn't see it. You know, you can imagine being my parents and saying, "Why is this chocolate in the bottom of your sock drawer?" You know, the same thing, and God does look and smile with us. God laughs out loud with us. It's just a beautiful relationship. Yeah, the same as a friend would or a sister or a brother would. You laugh at these things. God is right there with us, enjoying that time as well.
You know, I have to track back when you talked about communion, because several years ago we were in church, me and my husband, and communion coming, and my husband, he's not clumsy, but he does kind of lurch a little bit, like, you know, from Adam's family. Uh-huh. Sometimes he lurches, and so, you know, there's like, you're in, especially in a mega church, there's like 12 seats between me and the next person, okay, and so you have to go get the tray for the communion, you know, take it to you, and I'm watching my husband, and I am literally praying, like, please don't let him drop this communion thing. And he's lurching it. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. We're looking at each other. And we're both praying. Like, we know for a fact he doesn't want to drop it. I don't want him to drop it, because then I have to claim this is my husband. You know, like, yes, this is my husband. Yes, he dropped the communion. Thankfully, thank God he did. But it was so humorous, because we were thinking the same thing. Like, he's walking towards me with the communion tray. It couldn't be the one with the crackers. But then you don't want that to happen either, because then it'll go all over the place. But it's worse with the juice. It's just worse with the juice, because it's grape juice. It'll stain, and, you know, someone may be dressed really nice that day, and you ruin it. And, you know. And so we were laughing later, because he looked at me, I looked at him, and we're like, both praying. I know at that one moment we were both praying, like, please don't let him drop this thing. Thank God he did. Thank God he did. And then when you were talking about baptism, we had just started this church, when I just started there. We're just, you know, enjoying it. And the pastor had the honor of baptizing his adopted daughter. And she was like three. She had she's like three or so. Cutest little thing you've ever seen. And so he baptized her. And from our vantage point, you can see the bottom of the pool because it's clear. And she could not get footing. Okay, they baptize her. She couldn't get her footing. She just swims away. She swims away out into the other side of the tub. We laughed so hard because you could tell she's trying to stand, and then she just swims away. Mind you, she's five, and she's tiny, little beautiful little Asian girl, just beautiful as could be. And she swam away, and we just died. And mind you, we're happy that she accepted Christ as her Savior, and then, you know, he was so proud back. His daughter, and she swam away like a mermaid. And we were just like,
yeah,
it's just wonderful. And I love that it can be underlying these very poignant moments of joy, and to have that humor, it actually was more memorable that here at this moment of family, the family all laughed together when this person joined the family. And I love that aspect. And I know for our listeners, I know you must also understand the aspect of God's sense of humor. And I hope what we're saying, what we're sharing, what Dave's talking about, that you understand that God's sense of humor underlines is real. It's not something we're making up, you know. So when we come back, we'll talk more about this. And if you want to weigh in, you know you can. Weigh in at 646-668-885 and then press 1. Or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show. With your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring his gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. So very glad you are here with me today. We are talking about God's sense of humor, how you can find God's sense of humor in your life. You can find it definitely within the narrative of the Bible, and you can find it in small things. We talk about how laughter helps bring more intimacy during moments of great poignancy, how it brings a better relationship between us and God, that the creator of the universe, the king of all, share a moment of laughter and joy with us. And that's what it's like, a parent-child relationship, our Father. And our Father sometimes laughs at our antics, but he also laughs at something else. And David, thank you for expanding on that. What are some other things that he laughs on that you may think may not be a laughing matter?
Well, it says in the Psalms, in the 37th Psalm, that the Lord laughs at the wicked because he knows their day is coming. And so in a lot of ways, it's not a humorous laughter, but it's almost that parental laughter when your son or daughter says they're going to do something, and you kind of laugh at it because you know it's not going to work, but you have to allow them to walk through it anyway. And but even though he may laugh at the wicked because their day is coming, he also, through grace, will turn that laughter into joyous laughter when he sees them come about. Jesus said, the one sheep that's found creates more of a party in heaven than the 99 that have been with us the whole time. And so he does laugh at our plans sometimes when we go away from him. But in his love, he allows us to go away because he knows that's generally what will end up drawing us back. He's not a God that says, you will love me, period. He says, here I am, please love me. And so I think sometimes we come up with those plans that are rather wicked, and he allows us to proceed with them. And his laughter, in a sense, is almost a sarcastic bit, like, go ahead, see what kind of luck you can have with that. And yet he uses those experiences to draw us back in. I know in my life I deserted him in a lot of things, said, I'm going to take care of this myself. Thanks, Lord, just the same. And I think in that moment God laughed at my plans because he knew that it was going to cause heartache. He knew it was going to cause pain. And he allowed me to step into the fire. And when I got burnt, he was the first one there to heal me. And so,
amen.
Yeah, his laughter does sometimes go in such a way that we can't just laugh with him until the healing and the grace comes about.
Exactly. And I like that. I like that.
We, the first church I worked at outside of seminary, we came up with a wicked plan. Again, we were Southern Baptists, so those who don't understand some of the Southern Baptists, it's one of those things where dancing and smoking and drinking should have been listed with the original 10 commandments. And the staff, well, the joke went, why Baptists don't like adultery, because it could lead to dancing. It's not quite that bad, but it has been bad in some folks. So we're eating Mexican food. The entire staff is going to eat Mexican food. And I came up with a wicked, I said, I told our worship leader, I said, I'm going to get up and pretend like I'm using the restroom, and I'm going to order a virgin margarita for the pastor, because they'll come and set it in front of him, and he'll panic because he'll wonder, you know, what if people are watching, blah, blah, blah. And I said, this is going to just be great. And I said, after they set it down, I'll grab it and say, here, pastor, let me take care of it, and I'll just gulp it down quick. Well, of course, it's only going to be margarita mix, so we're all okay. So I get up and get the thing set up. We're talking. I didn't notice that the worship leader had gotten up to go to use the restroom as well. So when the margarita is set in front of the pastor, he backs up like it's got leprosy, and he said, I didn't order this. And I said, here, pastor, let me take care of it. Parker, I downed the sucker. I didn't realize until then that the worship leader, when he got up to use the bathroom, he pulled the prank onto me and told the server to go ahead and make it a double tequila margarita.
Oh, no.
So my face is now red, flushed from alcohol. I'm coughing, wheezing. completely wicked plan that was turned into something joyous and funny. And so when I hear that God laughed at the wicked, I think, yeah. And after that double tequila shot, God's going to say, ha ha, gotcha, come on back. Welcome to the fold.
Exactly. You know what? The fact that people can do that, though, you kind of want to like shoot them. Like, this wasn't supposed to be against me, you jerk, you know, but it was. There's nothing you could do about it. And you kind of have to sit there like, okay. Another thing, we did get another comment. We got a comment from R.D. Palmer, and R.D. says, an onion can make us cry, but God's food of his word can make us laugh because we know he is in control no matter how smart man thinks he is. RD, thank you so much for adding to the conversation. I love that he said that. I was thinking about onions, and I'll be honest with you. I can cut an onion without crying for at least 5 minutes, and I've gotten good at, you know, taking it. But it took practice. It took practice and everything because I didn't want to do it. So my husband, we were making dinner, you know, couples making dinner or whatever. And so he's like, how are you not crying? I said, well, you know, I have a special condition. I'm just making it up as I go, literally. And he's swallowing it, which is so funny. Like, I said, no, maybe I've been doing it for a long time. But he was swallowing it. You know, and then, of course, for those of you, I've told the story so many times of how I started this podcast. And I think I even told you and how my husband had bought that mic 2 years prior before I was going to be doing a podcast, and how angry I was because I never forget what he said. He was like, it was on sale. And I was like, okay, like how much of one sale? It's $150. We don't have that running around, you know? And he goes, I got a $20 rebate. And I remember him saying that. I remember looking at him curious. And you can't see God cracking up in the background. Like, she has no idea what this is going to be about. And that's God's behavior there. It's edifying. It can be very correcting. It's never meant to hurt. It's not dark humor. And so, you know, dark humor, and that's another subject for another time. But dark humor can be a little off. And then sometimes there are some things we should not laugh at, you know, like, there's something you should not laugh at. We understand that. But God's sense of humor, it doesn't, he laughs at us, but he doesn't humiliate us. He may laugh at us, but he doesn't, you know, take it down where it's not funny anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's more so like you said, you know, I'm laughing, but all right, come on. Because he's the first one to take you back from where you were going. And I love that about the Lord and his sense of humor. You know, I want people to know more about you, David, because, you know, like you said, like you said earlier, you can laugh at yourself, and I don't mind laugh at myself. I don't mind laugh at myself at all, but sometimes I do because when I laugh at myself, but getting embarrassed by something I do, you know. And but if it makes, I always say, as long as you feel better, that's what makes me feel better, kind of like that, you know. But let people know who you are. Go ahead and give us your social media outlets.
On social media, you'll find me on Facebook as Author David Waddell, or it's facebook.com/justlikebiblicalpeople. That's one of the biggest ones. My website is davidwaddell.biz, B-I-Z. And I'm also DWaddell_7757 on Instagram. And for those that are on LinkedIn, you'll find me as David Waddell, either a WESPO author or a University of Mississippi lecturer on those. Facebook is the one that I probably go to the most. And if you want the humorous side of me, find the author page and then go ahead and look me up on my regular page, and I'll add you as a friend there as well. And it's just, it's fun things. It's little things. I went to the dentist, and the person in front of me for a teeth cleaning came out licking her teeth and said, wow, I'm not going to eat anything all afternoon so I can enjoy this smoothness. I went to get a cheeseburger right after my teeth were cleaned. I went a different route with it. And so it's just, it's moments in life. It's the fun things that happen. And you mentioned laughing at ourselves, Parker, and I had someone ask me once, they said, why do you poke so much fun at yourself? Well, for one thing, if you can't have a self-deprecating humor about yourself, who can you have one with?
Yeah.
But secondly, is at the end of the day, I can poke fun at myself. I can look in the mirror, and I know God made me who I am, and I'm okay
mm-hmm.
with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I poke fun at someone else, everyone laughs except that person. That's not funny.
No,
if
no.
Everyone's not laughing. So if I poke fun at myself, everyone laughs. And at the end of the day, I can look and say, I'm God's wonderful son. And so I think that's why sometimes, too, I like to poke fun at myself, because then everyone can enjoy the laughter. And people identify with, they resonate with our own humor. Parker, when you told the Lord's Supper story about your husband, I'm walking down the aisle with him right then, because I understand his nervousness. And so when we poke fun at ourselves and our own situations, I think people identify with that. And they realize they're a bit more normal than they thought, or that we're all more slightly abnormal than we pretend to be.
And I think that is what humor does. It really does connect us all together, you know. And one of the things, like my husband, one of the things he did, and this was like within the last year or so, we were something was happening, and he came to my, when I was working, he came to my job, and looking at him, because I was upset with him earlier for something, who knows. And so he comes to my job, and he usually brings me a breakfast bowl. He used to bring me a breakfast bowl, Jimmy Dean's breakfast bowl. And so he
yeah.
brought that, and all of a sudden he's looking at me, and real intently, I said, okay, yeah, what? Because you're mad, right? You know, what? So he goes, and he pulls out this rose, and he goes, Happy Valentine's Day. And I said, thank you, baby, but it's Veterans Day. And he looked at me. and he goes, are you serious? I said, yes, I am serious. I'm so thankful that you thank a non-veteran. So he, and what happened, he left, and he's like beet red. You know, he's red and highly embarrassed, which I thought was funny. But and my coworkers are like, oh, something special. Is there a special day? I said, no, he thought it was Valentine's Day. And she looked at me, are you serious? You know, I was like, yes. Yes, I'm truly serious. But guess what? I wasn't mad at him anymore. I wasn't mad. I don't even know what I was mad at. I remember the laughter more than I remember what I was angry at him about. And I think that's what the point of humor is sometimes, is get out
exactly.
that the seriousness of life and be able to laugh. And, like, of course, Proverbs says, there's a time to what? A time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to weep, and a time to what? Laugh.
Yeah.
Even God
laugh.
Understands that we need laughter. And so I hope for our listeners out there who are listening in as we get ready to close our show, I hope that you really further appreciate what it means to have humor. I mean, humor is just this underlying thing that just makes life so interesting. If we didn't have it, life would be this drudgery. It would be this, you know, constant battle. There's nothing to, you know, change it. But then you'll have something that makes you laugh, and then, okay, it's okay, and it releases pressure. And one of the things you mentioned, too, there's health benefits to it. I remember reading that that actually helps produce more white blood cells, which in actuality helps with your immune system. So even that, you can defend yourself against it, because what? You have more blood cells doing whatever, you know. I don't know true that is. That's
nope.
what I was told. But if it is true, you know, laugh your way, hey, laugh your way well, right? You know, so
yeah,
I love
yeah.
that. And of course, I don't know, you've had to have seen it, David. Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage by Gunger, when he did
yes.
Thing like that was hysterical. That was absolutely hysterical. And you know, he used humor to help solve the serious issue of broken marriages. I mean, that's what humor
yeah.
does. That's what God gave us. And that's why we should appreciate it more. So, David, what are some of your closing thoughts as you get ready to go?
Well, I like the way that you were talking about how humor and laughter diffuses certain situations. And if two people that are in relationship will see the humor sometimes in the silliness, more times than not, marital and relationship battles aren't over big things. It's the way you screw the toothpaste lid back on, or the way that you put the toilet paper roll on the thing. I mean, it's little things. And humor diffuses stress. Humor
mm-hmm.
diffuses pain. Humor diffuses anger. There's just a lot of things that you know, I had someone tell me once it was a heated situation, and I said been goofy and stupid, don't remember what it was, and the other person started laughing, and they said, don't make me laugh, I want to hate you right now. It is a gift from God, and as Hillary said, he laughs with us, he smiles with us, and I hope our listeners will laugh today, enjoy, maybe just watch a dumb movie that is nothing but humor, and just mm-hmm. enjoy yourself.
Amen. You know, I was looking at, I was doing nostalgia yesterday. I put on my Facebook, The Court Jester with Danny Kaye. I don't know if you remember that movie or not,
yeah.
Or you've heard of it. And that was one of my favorite movies growing up. And I remember I was thinking about it for the show, you know, and I was thinking how he says a jester unemployed, but he's thinking it's nobody's fool, you know. And I love the play on words and stuff like that. And it just lets you know that, you know, even throughout life, we need that laughter. And God has a sense of humor and one of the wonderful things he gave us that we can share in it. So I hope you guys were blessed today. I know I was blessed, Dave. Thank you so much for being with us on the show to talk about God's sense of humor. And I hope as you guys try to continue to deal with this pandemic and all the other things that come from it, that you take a moment and laugh. Thank you so much for joining for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, wonderful, blessed day. And God bless.